I thought, well, Erev Tachumen sounds a good idea, simply because a lot of people are about to go away on holiday. And it's the opportunity when you're on holiday when you might come up with the need to make an Erev Tachumen. It's not very much is written about the subject, but it's important to learn, nevertheless. So even if you don't actually, in practical terms, have to make one, it's Limud Torah. One still has to know about it. What does the word Erev mean? There are in fact three kinds of Erev. Erev Chatzeros, which is the one we are most familiar with, which enables one to carry between various precincts, to make it all one private one. Erev Tavshilim we're all familiar with, when Yom Tov falls on Thursday, Friday, or just on Friday, in order that you can prepare for Shabbos with your cooking and other things, like lighting the Shabbos candles and so on, we have a system in place where you've got Erev Tavshilim. And you make the bracha al mitzvahs Erev. Similarly with Erev Tachumen, in order to extend the permitted amount you can walk on Shabbos when you're out in the countryside, we can have a system called Erev Tachumen. There will be some handouts coming around of a rather poorly made diagram, but I hope it will be good enough. There might not be enough to go around, so you might have to share one between two. So we ask, what does the word Erev mean? The word Erev means evening, because it's a meeting between the day and the night. It's joining together, Erev. So what you're doing with an Erev Chatzeros is you're joining together the precinct. You are joining the Yom Tov and the Shabbos in permissibility. And similarly with an Erev Tachumen, you are joining together the forbidden area with the permitted area to make one large permitted area. The word Erev is also related to the word Orei, which means a guarantor. You're giving a guarantee that whereas normally you do not have the permissibility to do certain things, by making the Erev you're creating a guarantee, a permissibility to doing something which you would not otherwise have been allowed to do. The Isser of Tachum, according to some Rishonim, is from the Torah. The Torah says, Al Yetze Ish Mimkom Yom HaShabbos, and there it's talking about the mon in Parshas Peshalach, that people were told, on Friday you get double portion, on Shabbos you don't go out to collect the mon. You don't go out from your place because there won't be any. And it's a lack of emunah on your part if you try going out looking for some. And it was a big simon that Shabbos is such an important event, min ha-shamayim, that for 40 years the people of Israel had double portion on Friday and nothing on Shabbos. What better simon of the gadlus of Shabbos is there? And they were told, al yetzei ish mimkom yom ha-shabbos. So the Rif says, and also the Rambam, that where it says, al yetzei ish mimkom yom ha-shabbos, it's not only talking about the mon, it's also talking about the din of Tchum Shabbos. There are the Rishonim who disagree. But according to those Rishonim, you are not allowed to go more than a certain distance, midaraisa. What is that distance? The Gemara explains, it's the distance which was the measurement of the camp. The Israelites' camp was 12 mil by 12 mil. A mil is approximately 1 kilometer. So 12 mil by 12 mil, it's not a small area. It's a mil, 12 mil is roughly about 7 miles, so 7 times 7 miles. It's certainly an area as big as London, if not more. And how many Jewish people were there? Central London. All right, so you had 600,000 men married with about 5 children each. The Stipend Gaon says there were 3 million people. So you work out how many people there were to the area, and it wasn't too crowded. 12 mil by 12 mil is quite a nice distance. So the rule was made, you may not walk more than 12 mil. Chazal afterwards came along and said, we insist that the din of Tachum is made of 1 mil, which is 2,000 amos. What are the ideas behind Erev? The Sefer Dovah Be'itzah talks about Erev Chatzeros, which tells us that we should learn from it peace between people, Be'inotam L'chavera, because we're coming together with our different Rishuyos. And as a result of that, he says, when you do the mitzvah of Erev, you should have in mind the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'reach Kamocha. So what is it that you might have in mind when you're doing the mitzvah of Erev Tachumen, where there isn't such an idea of joining with other people? It's something one does on oneself. The Kabbalists talk about the Erev Tachumen being in a place where is the sodeh, the field. You never make an Erev Tachumin in a town. You don't need to. From the town you can walk out 2,000 numbers, and if you want to extend it further, you'll be going out to somewhere in the wilds, some field, where you'll be able to extend it further. The concept of the town is that it's much more likely to be a Mokum Torah, a place where there is more Kedusha. Yaakov was called an Ish Tom Yosheva Holim. He was sitting in the tents learning Torah. And what was Esav called? He was one who went out hunting, Ish Sodeh, a man of the field. So the symbol of the field is that it's a place of Chitzonius. It's a place where there is less Kedusha. Just like you find in Perkei Avos, where Yosef ben Yosef Ish Shalayim says, he says your house should be an open house. Why? Because the place in Yerushalayim is already a big place of learning, so he doesn't have to stress the learning so much. But then there's the other Rav who says Yosef ben Yosef Ish Tzereda, the man of Tzereda, which is a little known village out in the wild. He says Yibeischo Beis Vad Lachachomim, your house should be a place of learning. Why does he say this? Because he's out in the wilds where in the little villages people are very friendly with each other. There's no problem about saying your house should be posuach l'rivocho, open to guests. So he has to stress that you must learn Torah and have your house as a beis vad l'chachomim. But in the town where there are the yeshivas and people are not so friendly to each other and might not invite guests so often, that's where it says yibeischo posuach l'rivocho. So when we're out in the wilds, ish sodeh, we are coming to a place where there's not so much kedusha. Because you might ask the question, you know, I can really walk right round the town on Shabbos for miles and miles and miles, and I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not being mechalal Shabbos. The moment I step outside the town, I can only walk a certain distance. So that's when there is that ceiling prohibition of 2,000 amos. So what I'm going to do today is tell you about a bit of personal experiences. And you have a diagram in front of you, and the town is meant to resemble the town of Wellington in Devon, where I was fortunate to be with my family one summer holiday very close to the Aguda camp, so we had a minyan nearby. Well, it's easy during the week because then you've got a car, but what do you do on Shabbos? And you've got there the holiday cottage spotted there near a little village which was called West Buckland, and that cottage was just outside, was well outside the Tachum, because the Tachum is a square around the town. If you look at the town, you can see I've drawn a square around it, because the way we start measuring the Tachum is to draw a square, not a circle, not a radius, and then you draw a further square, another 2,000 amos, which is 1.16 kilometres, according to most poskim. That square, then, is the Tachum. So if you look at the town, you've got a Tachum around it where you can walk outside the town. And that does not enable me to go as far as my holiday cottage. And indeed, when you look at my holiday cottage, you can see a square, a rough square, not very well drawn around that cottage, which got its 2,000 amos there. So from the holiday cottage, you can walk in any direction, and within 2,000 amos. But you will not, within that square, be able to meet with the square from the town. So I had a big problem, because we thought we were close to this camp. Yes?
It's got to be a square, but the square could be at a different angle.
I'm coming to that. The din with Tachum, is that the square is always drawn in a north-south direction.
This is when you are dealing with a town, not with an isolated holiday cottage.
I asked once Rav Falken Gateshead why that is, and he offered the svara that it's the Derech HaOlam, that when towns are built and then they start with infilling, that they usually build within its general area and fill it up, and so the tendency of Chazal was to draw the square in a north-south direction, where you've got a Tachum circling the town in that way. We're coming to the actual Erev Tachum in a moment, because you'll see a diagonal square here. But the dilemma that I had was, you see, when you extend 2,000 amos with an Erev Tachum in, so you take your food to the place, and then you can extend a further 2,000 amos, I found I couldn't do that here. Because if you measure from the shul to the holiday cottage, it's more than 4,000 amos. So I couldn't make, as far as I could see, an Erev Tachumin. You can't extend the Tachum more than 4,000 amos, because 2,000 plus 2,000. But I had with me, believe it or not, a sefer called Shona Halachos. And there he brings down the Chazon Ish, And there the Chazon Ish talks about the diagonals. Now if you look in the Tzachum of the town, you can see not only is 2,000 amos from one side to the side, but when you look at the diagonal at the top right corner of the town, you can see it says 2,800 amos. The mathematicians here who know Pythagoras will know why the 2,000 turns into 2,800. So when you've got the diagonal of the square, you're allowed to walk within that as well. But the Tzachum of a town is only in a north-south direction. What about an Eruv? So the Shulchan Aruch brings down an amazing piece of Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that whereas with a Tzachum Shabbos you have a north-south direction, when it comes to Eruv Tzachumin, you can have in mind to be in any direction. When you are Kone Shavisa, when you make your fixed place for your Eruv, you make what's really like 4x4 amos. That's my home, so to speak. My legendary home for Shabbos. And you have in mind that my legendary home square is not in a north-south direction. It's in a northwest-southeast direction. And that my Tzachum Shabbos from that will extend 2,000 amos to northwest, to southeast, to the northeast, and the southwest. And that way, your boundaries are not just 2,000 to one end, but 2,800. And when you double that up, because you've got two diagonals, you don't have 2,800, you've got 5,600 amos. And with that 5,600 amos, you can just about, you can do it. So we managed. We did our Eruv Tzachumin. But there is another thing important to remember, and that's this. There is a din that when you sleep in a town and you want to make your Tzachum, your whole town is considered like Dalad Amos. You can walk throughout the town without any problems whatsoever. And then only from the edge of the town will your Tzachum start, irrespective of where you start from. The problem is, if you sleep outside the town, in some other place, then when you finally get to the town, you cannot capitalize on this idea that the whole town is like Dalad Amos. Once you get to the town from your Tzachum from the holiday cottage, you can't walk into the whole town, because you're not sleeping in that town overnight, you're not Kone Shavisa there. So you can only go into the town within your own Tzachum, your own 2,000 or 2,800 amos. So once you get to the shul, you've got to be careful not to go further. Oh, go and have a look at the shops and see what's going on there. You can't do that. There's another problem with Eruv Tzachumin. That Shabbos afternoon, my wife said to me, let's go for a walk in the village. And I said, I can't. You can, but I can't. And the boys who are with me can't. Why? Because when you make an Eruv Tzachumin and you make your legendary home and you can see where the Eruv cross is there in the middle, then you are entitled to walk anywhere within that diagonal square on Shabbos. But you can't walk outside that square. Alright, if you are so much in the village, you might say, well, there is a Dalad Amos rule. Fine. If you are part of the village, but it only needs 70 amos distance, which isn't very much, for your cottage to be away from the village, and you can't say you're part of the village. So they, the ladies, were able to go for a walk in the village because it was within their Tzachum. But they were not taking on themselves to walk to the Minyan. But we, because we had taken it on ourselves to make that Eruv and to walk to the Minyan, we couldn't go outside our square and walk into the village. And that brings us to a very important lesson regarding Eruv Tzachumin. If you make an Eruv for somebody else, it's fine as far as Eruv Chatzeros is concerned. Because when you make an Eruv Chatzeros, Mazake Odom Shelo Befonov, you can do something for somebody else which is for his benefit without him knowing. So when you make your Eruv Chatzeros and you enable carrying between different precincts on Shabbos, other people don't have to know about it and they come along afterwards and say, oh, there's an Eruv here, oh, thank you very much, that means I can carry. Right. But when it comes to Eruv Tzachumin, you can't do that. Because when you make an Eruv Tzachumin, you are depriving somebody from walking into a particular area. That if I would have made for my wife an Eruv Tzachumin without her knowing and without her agreement, that would have prevented her from walking into the village. So you can't say then, Mazakin Odom Shelo Befonov, that you are giving a credit, a benefit to somebody who's not there, because they are being deprived in some way if they want to walk into a different direction. So therefore, whenever you make an Eruv Tzachumin, it's got to be done with the Da'as Ba'alim, with the other people knowing and requesting that it's done on their behalf. And there is another difference. Because when you do Eruv Chatzeros, the amount of food you put by, even if it's for a whole town, doesn't have to be a huge amount. So we talk about the mozen which you put by, which is pas. So the din of Erev Tchumen is a pas for shad for two seudos, for two mir, with the eighth kvesim or something like that.
So if you want a packet of matzahs, you're okay. But if you're making for other people as well, the din is you have to put aside the food of two meals for every single person who is
participating in the Erev. You don't have to in the case of Erev Chatzeros, but you do in the case of Erev Tchumen. So when we were doing another Erev Tchumen, which was in Switzerland, and there was a village called Sazal Miguel, which we went to 3 years ago, and there was a Hasmonean camp there in Sazal Miguel, so it was very useful because we had a minyan there. But the Hasmonean camp finished a bit early for some of us holiday makers in time because some of the yeshiva brachim were there wanted to get back to yeshiva for a Shkodesh Elul, and we were left one Shabbos without the minyan. And there were a few other families there, but not enough to make our own minyan. Mind you, there was some Hasidic Rebbe nearby, but it was all top secret because the Hasidim didn't want other people to join. One weekday morning, though, I saw one young man running with large hat and payas in the different directions of the Hasmonean camp. And I said, "Where are you going? The minyan's that way." He said, "Nein, ich gehe nach Mikva." I said, "Mikva? Here in the Swiss mountains, you're going to the Mikva? Ja, the Rebbe hat nach der Jacuzzi und zwar Mikva." Well, whatever it was, We were left without a minyan, but in the next village, called Saz Fay, Saz Grund, that's Saz Fay, there was a minyan, a very big minyan. To get to Saz Fay by road is a very long way round, and it's definitely outside the Tchum, but there was a pedestrian pathway, and getting the local map to scale, it was very clear that it was less than 4,000 of us from Saz Amgel to Saz Fay, and we made an Erev Tchumin halfway along this path. By the way, when you make an Erev Tchumen, on a practical issue, you want to make sure that the food is not going to be eaten up by animals during Ein HaShmoshes, which is the time it has to be there. So don't just leave it lying in a Tesco bag. You have to really put it in a very firm tin or something, which animals can't claw through, because they can smell the food a mile away. If that food is eaten up before the end of Ein HaShmoshes, then you can't rely on that Erev Tchumen at all. So we proudly were happy to make this Erev Tchumen in the valleys of the Swiss mountains. But people were coming up to me saying, "Oh, could you have me in mind when you do your Erev Tchumen so that we can go to the minyan as well?" I said, "Yeah, no problem." And then I realized afterwards, after I said no problem to all these people, that it wasn't enough for me to put just one packet of matzahs there, because I had to put there for every single person and their children who were coming with and joining in on the Erev Tchumen. Otherwise it would not have been valid. Okay, we had a nice picnic. Another time we were fortunate in making one of these was also in Switzerland. There are two villages there, one is called Endingen and one is called Lengnau, where the Jews first settled 300 years ago, and there's a very big shul in both of them, but they're not used anymore. There is a Jewish old age home though in Lengnau, and we were staying in Endingen, and although one or two Jewish people said to me, "Yeah, it's okay, you can walk one to the other," some rabbi said it's okay, when I measured it out, it seemed to be just over the Tchum Shabbos from the last house and so on. So we did an Eruv Tchumen. And halfway between the two villages, there is a Jewish cemetery. So I thought, oh, what a handy thing to do, to put the Eruv inside a Jewish cemetery. Nobody will find it there. But looking into the halacha, there are questions about putting an Eruv Tchumen in a Jewish cemetery, because you're not allowed to have hanor. You're not allowed to have hanor from the area of where there are graves, and if a kohen wants to make use of it, you certainly can't have the eruv there. But we put it just outside, it's on outside the wall of it, and covered it up suitably. So the experience of these three different eruvim led to some interesting practical questions, one of which we've come across here with the diagonal square, to show how you can capitalize on it. Also issues relating to putting aside the food. But there are some other interesting and practical ideas one should know. When you go to your minyan into the next village and you meet an old friend, "Oh, hello, how are you? Nice to see you." And you say, "Can I invite you back to my place for Shabbos Shuvos or something?" And then you hesitate and think, "Oh, I can't do that." Because he did not have in mind to be part of my Erev Tchumen before Shabbos, and neither did I have him in mind, and therefore he can't be invited back to my place. Well, there is something about making a Tanai. Even though you are tied up on Shabbos for your diagonal square or whatever it is, your Erev Tchumen, you can make a stipulation before Shabbos comes in. Let's say, for example, you're going to make an Erev in order to meet a Rebbe. really you should only make an Erev Tachumin for a mitzvah. A mitzvah such as going to daven with a minyan, visiting somebody in hospital, or coming to greet a friend is also one of the things, and to greet a Rebbe certainly. And you're not sure whether the Rebbe is coming from this direction or he's coming from that direction. And you're not going to find out till Shabbos comes in for some reason to find out which direction the Rebbe's coming. So you are allowed to make two different Eruvin in two different places. And you can say, if the Rebbe is going to come from this direction, this is going to be my kosher Eruv. And if he's going to come from that direction, then that's my kosher Eruv. So you can make such a stipulation. Or even if you just make one Eruv, and you decide after Shabbos has come in that you don't want to go to that minyan for some reason because you think you might be able to get a minyan where you're staying in the local village, you can make a stipulation. If it turns out that we're unable to go here, then I'll be able to go there, and that I'll be making use of my Eruv Tachumin. So although it talks about making an Eruv Tachumin only for a mitzvah, there are poskim you bring down, you may even make it just for the purpose of a teal. If you want to walk to a nice area on Shabbos, which gives you a satisfaction, which gives you an onik Shabbos, then you can make an Eruv for that reason. The Eruv Tachumin is, as I said, 12 by 12 min HaTorah, according to some Rishonim. And 12 times 12 is 144. 144, which is the gematria of Kedem. I'm not here to advertise any particular brand of grape juice, but Kedem, 12 by 12 is 144. The camp which was in the desert of the Israelites was measured 12 by 12.
But we said 400 numbers, no? Or 200 numbers?
First of all, from the Isser of Tachumin. The Isser of Tachumin, Min HaTorah, is 12 mil.
Min HaTorah is 12
mil. 12 mil. The Drabonon is 1 mil, which is extended by a further mil with an Isser of Tachumin. So, looking at things in a more mystical light, the number 144 is the gematria of Kedem. Kedem is an idea of precedence, of coming before other things, of Kedusha. Hashireinu Hashem le'kecho v'nosh shuva, chadesh yomeinu ke-kedem. We pray for Kedem. Kedem is an idea of Kedusha. So that Chazal, in seeing Yeridas Hadaros not wanting the Kedusha of Shabbos to be spoilt, they limited this further down, the Tachum Shabbos, down just to 1 mil, to limit it much, much more. Because what we have to always bear in mind is, when we keep Shabbos, is that apart from the Lamed Tes Malachos, we have to bear in mind the Kedusha of Shabbos and not do anything which can detract from the Onik Shabbos in a spiritual way as well as in a physical way. And we now come to the summer holidays, and whether we're going to make an Eruv Tachumin or not, there's a sefer on Hilchos Pesach by Rav Blumenkranz, and he writes in there that when it comes to holidays, he says the best memories that children have of their childhood is when they were on holiday with their family, the outings that took place. Those are the things which they treasure most in their memories, and therefore it's very important that when we have these summer holidays or whatever, to do things which have a mark of not just physical enjoyment, but some sort of spiritual elevation about them. I'm not going to start saying what measures necessarily are done in detail, like you get in some adverts in newspapers. The idea of the summer holiday is that it's a time which is for the family to enjoy in a spiritual as well as a physical way. So when we're discussing the subject of Eruv Tachumin and how we might do one practical mitzvah on holiday, there are other interesting practical mitzvahs which we might be doing on holiday which are interesting for the children, which you don't normally have experience of during the whole year round. So that's why any holiday should be not just safe and enjoyable, but also Torah orientated. So I hope you have all a very nice summer holiday, if you have one. Thank you.